ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ವೇದ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾಮಕ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಯೋಗ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಕ್ರಿಯಾ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಂ ಜ್ಞಾನ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಂ ತಪ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರೋ ಧರ್ಮ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಗತಿ. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruit of activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. He is the supreme knowledge. And all severe austerities are performed to know him. Religion, dharma, is rendering loving service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the only object of worship is confirmed in these two slokas. In the Vedic literature, there is the same objective, establishing one's relationship and ultimately reviving our lost loving service unto him. That is the sum and substance of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same theory is confirmed by the Lord in his own words. The ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to know him only. All the revealed scriptures are prepared by the Lord through his incarnation in the body of Srila Vyasadeva. Just to remind the fallen souls, conditioned by material nature of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. No demigod can award freedom from material bondage. That is the verdict of all the Vedic literatures. Impersonalists who have no information of the personality of Godhead minimize the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord and put him on equal footing with other living beings. And for this, such impersonalists get freedom from material bondage only with great difficulty. They can surrender unto him only after many, many births in the culture of transcendental knowledge. We are reading this afternoon from the 28th and 29th slokas of the second chapter, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Krishna is being described as the source and the goal of everything in life. Everything is coming from Krishna, and ultimately everything is meant to return to Krishna. Krishna is the creator and Krishna is the destroyer. In his partial expansion of Karanodakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu, innumerable universes emanate from his body due to his exhalation. In other words, everything is coming from him. And ultimately, at the end of this cosmic manifestation, when the Supreme Lord, Sri Mahavishnu, inhales, all of the universes and everything within re-enter his body. So he is Sarva Karana Karanam, he is the cause of all causes, and he is also the ultimate resting place of everything and everyone that exists. Everything comes from him, and everything must go back to him. So within this creation, the Lord appears to teach all living beings how to recognize the reality of this truth. Everything will be taken by Krishna if we respect with affection and offer it to him by our own sweet independent will. Then we achieve the ultimate perfection Krishna gives us, bhakti, unalloyed devotion, liberation from all of the limitations and miseries of this material existence. But if we are not willing to offer whatever exists, our body, our mind, our words, our life, all the paraphernalia that we temporarily acquire within this world, if we don't offer it to him in love, it will be taken away by force. And the result is that we have to suffer in illusion, in bewilderment, repeated birth and death. Krishna is going to get everything anyway because everything is his property. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. A good servant accepts this reality and offers it with love. So herein is it described that Krishna is everything in the sense that everything is his energy meant exclusively for his pleasure. Our power to speak is meant for his pleasure. When we speak those things that are unpleasing to the Lord, we are cheating him. And ultimately, Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. If we endeavor to cheat Krishna, he will cheat us. Every word should be constructively for the glorification and for the service of the Lord. How is that possible? It is very possible. When we sing the glories of the Lord. When we speak socially, we make our social relations with devotees who appreciate hearing the glories of the Lord. And when we have to do our practical matters for maintenance of our body and the family members around us, we take the fruits of the actions in which we have endeavored, and we utilize it in the service of the Lord. And we do not waste words. We say the needful to perform our service. But in our hearts, whenever the opportunity, and the opportunity is always there, we should be taking the name of Krishna. We should be chanting Krishna's name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is practical. Devotional service is the most practical thing in all of creation. Some people think that how can I engage in a devotional life with so many responsibilities? But it is an art, it is a science, which is actually the only practical way of life. It is not practical. It is not sensible to waste our precious time in this human existence for anything other than progressing toward the ultimate goal of life. In whatever stage, whether we are children in schools, whether we are adults with families, working, making ends meet, or whether we are brahmacharis, sannyasis, living in the ashram, Krishna consciousness is so practical. Just make Krishna the goal of everything you do and recognize that everything we have is coming from Krishna. And appreciate, show your gratitude by offering it back to him. Krishna gives us the power to think. Let us think of him, how to serve him, how to please him. Krishna gives us the power to see. Let us see those things that increase our love for him. Krishna gives us the power to hear. Let us hear those things that give pleasure to Krishna in our heart. Krishna gives us the power to taste. Let us taste the remnants of his food, prasadam, to show our gratitude to him. Krishna is giving us everything. Sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. And therefore it is said in Gita, bahunam janmanam ante jnanabhamam papajyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After many births and many deaths, one who actually attains real knowledge knows Vasudev, Krishna, to be the cause of all causes and all that is. This is the definition of a real Mahatma. A great soul is one who has come to this realization that Krishna is the cause of all causes and everything is meant in his service. How to please Krishna? We can only understand how to please Krishna if we recognize that Krishna is a person and hear from him. The impersonalist class of philosophy have no conception of how to please Krishna because their idea of Krishna is very limited. Ultimately, the impersonalist idea is to please themselves. We please Krishna so that we can become Krishna, and by pleasing Krishna, we please ourselves. Once I met a person who was exhibiting great expressions of devotion, it appeared. And this person told me after some days that my whole life, my everything, is to please Krishna because I am Krishna. And when I please Krishna, I please me. What type of devotion is this? This is just another extension, a grand extension, of material consciousness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada calls it the last snare of Maya. That we want to become God, we become frustrated trying to enjoy apart from God. Because in enjoying apart from God, we have to suffer the consequences of karma. Good karma, bad karma. But they all lead to repetition of birth and death. So one comes to the realization that I do not want to enjoy apart from God. It's a miserable condition. So I will become God. Then I can enjoy the position of God. But this is not devotion. According to the scripture, mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all part of Krishna. Jivara svarupoi Krishna ranitya das. We are his eternal servants. Real devotion is to understand, I am the eternal servant of Vasudeva, Sri Krishna. And whatever we do is for Krishna. When we take water from the river Ganges, we offer it back to the river Ganges. What actually have we done? Does the Ganges need that handful of water that we are offering back to her? Not at all. But she accepts the expression of our love. In the same way, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme proprietor. Whatever we offer him is already his. But Krishna is pleased with that expression of love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Jagannath Puri, although he was in the garb of a sannyasi, still his devotees understood that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the goal of all of our lives, just to please him, just to serve him. And how his devotees intimately pleased and served him. The Lord appears in such a way that even through the conventions of our society, if we just do it for Krishna, he's pleased. Because after all, the conventions of our society are reflections of the activities of the spiritual world. Just like when a guest comes to your house, you offer that guest water, you offer that guest prasad, and you try to please him. But even in the spiritual world of Goloka, Krishna is living in a house, and everyone is so anxious to feed him prasad. Just like when Sri Gopal or Sri Natsi appeared on Govardhan Hill. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how he explained to Sri Madhavendra Puri that you cook, you have wonderful, wonderful anukut feast of hundreds, thousands of preparations, mountains of food, and you offer it to me with love. This is an eternal activity of the Lord, to accept such offerings from his devotees. So that same Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, when he was appearing as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, every day his devotees would invite him for prasad. In fact, the devotees coming from Navadweep, Kulinagram, Shikanda, Santipur, they all cooked wonderful, wonderful preparations to bring to the Lord. There was large, large stock of prasad. Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti, they made hundreds and hundreds of bags and wrapped them very carefully and cooked them with such devotion that that devotion transcended the material laws. And however long that prasad remained in the bags, it remained as fresh and as sweet as if it was just cooked. How is this possible? We see when we have some prasad, after a few days or maybe a week, it loses its flavor, it becomes dry, it becomes moldy, all sorts of bacterial growths start coming upon it. Therefore, we like things very fresh, and it is a standard of deity worship to only offer Krishna those preparations that are very pure, very sattvic. Sattvic means fresh, not old, not stale. But Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, they cooked with such a spirit of devotion that whatever they cooked would stay absolutely fresh until the Lord
would honor it and enjoy it.
So all the devotees cooked. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he always wanted to please his devotees. So Govinda, the servant of the Lord, would accept the preparations from each devotee. And he would go to bring it to Lord Gauranga at the Gambira. And Lord Gaurasundara would say, just put it in the next room. So as an obedient servant, he just placed it all in the next room. And the next day, Srivas Thakur and Malini has brought these wonderful preparations. Please accept it. Yes, put it in the next room. Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani has brought these preparations for you, my Lord. Put it in the next room. Shivananda Sen has brought these wonderful preparations. Put it in the next room. In this way, a major portion of the room was filled with prasad, bhoga, and the Lord didn't touch any of it. He would just take his regular simple meals. But each devotee was asking Govinda, did the Lord enjoy what I have cooked? Did he make any comments? Because their goal in life is to please the Lord. They want to know whether they pleased him or not. It is natural. And Govinda would somehow or other say something or other to avoid the question. But every day they were asking. So he was feeling very disturbed, being the servant of a great personality is very difficult. Because on one hand you do not want to offend him, but on the other hand you don't want to offend those who are trying to serve him. So he didn't know what to do. So he was feeling distress in his heart. So Lord Gauranga asked, what is wrong? He said, my Lord, all these devotees have worked so hard. They have gone through so much to prepare these preparations for you, to bring them all the way from their homelands. And when they ask me if I tell them that you haven't eaten it after so many days, they will be sad. Their hearts will break. And if I tell them that you did eat it and make up some lies, then I will be lying to a Vaishnava. And this is a great offense. So Lord Chaitanya said, then you bring all the food. Bring it now. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in one sitting, ate an entire room full of prasad. And as he was eating it, he was making nice comments, praising the flavor, the texture, the aroma of each preparation. Although the preparations were sitting in that room for over a month, it was all as sweet, as flavorful, and as fresh as if it was just coming off the fire. And Govinda was very happy. Why was he so happy? He was so happy because he could make the devotees happy. He was noting down each comment. And it is the greatest pleasure of a devotee to make devotees happy. So he reported, and all the devotees were very jubilant. But after he ate the whole mountain of preparations, Govinda came with the bags of Raghava Pandit. He said, my Lord, these are the bags cooked by Raghava Pandit. And he said, I will not take that now. You give me one little piece of it for the rest of the year. So the Lord took part of that bag for a whole year. And because of their genuine, sincere desire to please the Lord, as I explained, each preparation was fresh, flavorful, and sweet,
even one full year later. Which gives us the understanding that if we have a sincere and determined desire to please Krishna, there is no impediment. Krishna will accept our devotion. On another occasion, devotees were inviting Lord Chaitanya to their homes every day. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of invitations were coming. And the devotees were making it so each day he would go to another house. So we went to the house of Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen gave him so much very opulently rich prasad. And to please his devotee, he ate it. But his mind became disturbed because by eating all of this prasad, he became attacked with indigestion. Now you may ask, how is it the Supreme Lord can have indigestion? Mother Yashoda, when she looked in Krishna's mouth, she saw the whole universe. She saw all the planets and all the demigods and all the mountains and all the rivers and all the jungles and all the animals and all living entities within his mouth, and yet he didn't have indigestion. Then Lord Jagannath, 56 offerings every day he's eating, he doesn't get indigestion. And at Govardhan, when Nanda Maharaj arranged under Krishna's direction mountains and mountains and lakes of preparations, he ate it all within a matter of seconds. He didn't get indigestion. So how is it that that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, after one little meal, he gets indigestion? This is a great mystery. Because whatever he does is only to increase the sentiments of love in the service of his devotees. So one of the sons of Shivananda Sen was introduced by him. Shivananda Sen said, "My lord, this boy's name is Chaitanya Das. He is my son." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you name him this name, Chaitanya Das?" And he said, "Because what is in my heart must be done." So Chaitanya Das, although he was a boy, very young, he noticed that Lord Chaitanya had indigestion. He could understand these things because of his natural love. So the next day, he invited Lord Chaitanya to his house. And most devotees, they were offering so many sweets and so many sabjis and so many wonderful grains. But Chaitanya Das, he offered the Lord ginger and lemon, and various digestive salts, and yogurt, dahi. And the Lord was very happy. He said, "Oh, this is very nice. This is love. This is real love." And the Lord just took the yogurt and mixed some rice and some lemons and some ginger and some salts, and he ate, and his digestive problem went away. And he praised Chaitanya Das that he was cooking to please the Lord with that consciousness in mind. So we should understand that this is service. Service means the consciousness to please the object of our service. Personally. And that is why it is required that we accept guidance from a proper spiritual master who can teach us just what is it that pleases Krishna? What is it that Krishna wants? And how does he want it? It is not that we please Krishna by doing things our way. We please Krishna by doing things his way. And he is so kind, he is so merciful, that if we simply approach him with this type of devotion, he accepts our offerings.
Patram putram patram pushpam phalam dho yam yomi bhakta prayachchati.
If one even offers the Lord a leaf, a fruit, a little water, with devotion, with a desire to please him as a person, he accepts it. And when Krishna accepts our offerings, that is the perfection of our life, to be accepted by Krishna. On another occasion, Murari Gupta, he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and he offered his prostrated obeisances first to Lord Chaitanya and then to Lord Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya chastised him. So what? Why did you do like this? This is not correct. Do you not know proper etiquette? And Murari Gupta was very much confused. He said, you should offer obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu first. Nityananda Prabhu is the original spiritual master. Murari Gupta looked perplexed. Lord Chaitanya said, I will reveal to you. So that night in a dream, Murari Gupta saw the beautiful form of Lord Nityananda. But he was in his original swarup of Balaramji. And he was very strong with plow over his shoulder. Beautiful, beautiful, effulgent bodily features. And as he was walking, he was capturing everyone's heart. And Lord Chaitanya was walking behind him. And he looked at Murari Gupta, who was watching all this in his dream, and he said, you see, he's my elder brother. You must honor him first. So the next day, Murari Gupta came to Srivas Thakur's house, and Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu were sitting together, and first he bowed down to Nityananda Prabhu and then to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He was very pleased. And he gave him his own remnants from his own mouth of prasad. And he bestowed his intimate blessings upon Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta was so satisfied, he was so ecstatic with the mercy that he had received, that he went home. And when he went home, his wife prepared nice prasad for him, rice with ghee. Murari Gupta told her, you make rice and ghee. So she went to serve it to him. And he was in such a trance of love, having received such special mercy of the Lord, that he started taking the rice and offering it to Lord Chaitanya and then throwing it on the floor. And he'd take more rice and soak it with ghee and then offer it to Lord Chaitanya and throw it on the floor. And he kept doing this. And then he told his wife, bring more rice and ghee. So she was bringing more. And she saw her husband throwing it on the floor and saying Mahaprabhu's name and throwing it on the floor. Now she thought this was very strange. But at the same time she understood that her husband was a great devotee. And you cannot so easily understand the mind of a great devotee. So more and more rice soaked in ghee, he was offering it and throwing it on the floor. And the next day, Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta's house. And the Lord said, you are a doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor. I need your help. I have indigestion. How did you get indigestion? Why you have indigestion? I have indigestion because you fed me so much rice and ghee yesterday, throwing it on the floor, and I ate all of it. I accepted it. Now what should I do? So just at that time, Lord Chaitanya saw the glass that Murari Gupta would personally drink water from. And Lord Chaitanya picked up that glass and drank the water. Said, it is this that cures my indigestion, the remnants of my devotees. And when the servants and the maidservants at Srivas Thakur's house saw this, that the Lord was accepting the water from the glass of his own devotee, such a humble position of love he has for his servants, all of these people, although they were uneducated and very simple by nature, they all began to swoon in the ecstasy of love of God. They all achieved pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that not only is his devotees dear to him, but those who are near and dear to his devotees are most dear to him. This is the great wonder. If you want to do something wonderful for any of your family members or friends or relatives, become dear to Krishna. If you become dear to Krishna, Krishna will give them all very special, intimate mercy, whether they know it or not, whether they like it or not. But it is a fact. Yesterday, we went to visit one of our very sincere members of Radha Gopinath Temple, Dayal Chandra Prabhu. Yesterday morning, his mother departed from this world. Her soul left her body. And when we went last night, he and his family members were very jubilant. They were sad, but jubilant. Sad that she left, but jubilant how she left. He explained that sometime before she was very, very sick for a very long time, and she wanted to return to her native place. But her grandson said, no, grandmother, you must stay here with devotees. You must be in the association of devotees where you'll be hearing the holy name constantly, where you'll be getting prasad constantly, where you'll be seeing the deity in our home constantly. This is what is important. So she said, all right. So just by being in an atmosphere, the husband, the wife, all three children, they're all initiated devotees. They all chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day. They have the Mangal Arati every day. They offer all their food to the deities every day. Their house is a temple. And the mother, the grandmother, she just happened to be there. But she was their mother and grandmother. And just by that atmosphere, she became so dear to Krishna. So dear to Krishna. Because she was dear to those who were dear to Krishna. That all of a sudden, she just became so devotional. And the last 36 hours of her life, she spent incessantly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. She didn't sleep. They asked, why don't you take rest? She said, I don't want to take rest because I don't want to take the risk of forgetting Krishna for a moment. If I forget Krishna, what if I die during that moment? I will not sleep. And the children put pictures of Krishna on all four sides, all directions. Not four, five, because up. Up there's Gopal. and there's Krishna playing flute here, and there's Prabhupada and Krishna there, and Krishna here. Everywhere was Krishna. So she could not, her eyes were open. She didn't want to close her eyes because she wanted to see Krishna. She was constantly chanting Maha Mantra. And when one of her relatives, close relatives, came to see how she was, she said, "Move over. You're standing in front of Krishna. I want to see Krishna." Because after all of our relationships are temporary. Vasudeva Paragati. Krishna is the supreme goal of life. So she left this world chanting the holy names of Krishna. How is this possible? She was old. She was weak. How? She stayed up for 36 consecutive hours chanting Harinam. Some of our devotees are 19, 20, 21 years old, and they're falling asleep while chanting 16 rounds. And they're in good health. Some of you are even falling asleep during this lecture we are giving. Of course, for that I don't blame you, considering who is giving the lecture. But anyways, she did not have the power to do like this. But because she was dear to Krishna's devotees, Krishna gave her that power. There are so many wonderful examples of this. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law was an envious rascal whose only business was to blaspheme and criticize others. Especially, he blasphemed and criticized Lord Chaitanya himself. And as a reaction, he got cholera. And he was on his deathbed. So many people die of AIDS or cholera or cancer. People die all the time. Dying is part of life. But this person, Lord Chaitanya, personally came to his room and placed his hand on his chest and said, "Why you have let this envy in your heart? The heart of a Brahmin is meant to be the abode of Krishna. Rise and chant the holy names." And within an instant, his cholera went to a distant place and he began to chant the holy names of Krishna with great devotion. And he became, his tears began to flow profusely from his eyes in love. How is it possible? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after seeing that Amoga was perfectly cured, he was alive, and he had attained love of Krishna. Sarvabhauma said, "Why? Why you did this to him? He deserved to die for his offenses to you." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Because he's your son-in-law. Because he is, even though you may be angry with him, still he's dear to you. And anyone who is dear to my devotee is dear to me and will receive my special blessings and mercy." So many wonderful examples. Shivananda Sen, there was a dog who just followed him. He didn't do anything except follow him as he was traveling to Jagannath Puri. And Shivananda Sen, being naturally a great devotee of the Lord, is compassionate to everyone. And because that dog wanted to associate with him, he became dear to him. And Shivananda Sen was personally arranging prasad for this dog every day. Nice rice. And the dog was content eating the rice. Later on, Lord Chaitanya was feeding that dog with his own hands, green coconut pulp, his own Maha Maha Prasad. And the next day he sent that dog back home, back to Godhead. We didn't have to go through thousands of species of life to achieve the human life. He did not have to work so hard with so much sadhana to try to control his senses. Just because he was dear to Shivananda Sen, he was sent back to Godhead directly. Of course, when the Lord appears, he performs miraculous pastimes. But he also gives us very vital, vibrant instructions. And the instruction is, explained by Rupa Goswami, that if you surrender to Krishna, if you become Krishna's devotee, do not think that you have neglected anything. If you become Krishna's devotee, do not think that you have neglected anything. You have done the greatest service for all. Devarshibhutaptinirnam pitrinam nakinkuranayam ranicharavam sarvatmana yashtaranam sharanyam gathomukundam bharititikaratam. One who surrenders to the lotus feet of Mukunda, he has done the greatest service. He's no longer in debt to anyone. If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. Because Krishna is a person. Simply to please Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. And all other goals are fulfilled if we please Krishna. That is what is being explained in this verse. Devotional service is so powerful because it pleases Krishna. We suffer because of our previous sins. And there are so many phases in which sins are accumulated within our lives. When we first engage in sinful activities, there are the sinful reactions have not even manifested in any way. They are about to manifest. They're on such a subtle plane. And then they manifest as seeds within our heart. And these seeds have not yet begun to fructify. Sometimes they develop as seeds of desire for sense gratification. All our desires for sinful life, all our desires for sense gratification are the seeds of previous sinful activities that we have created. All those desires, and we have billions and trillions and quadrillions of desires stored up like seeds in our heart. We are not even aware of even a fraction of them. The desires that come to our mind are like little drops coming out of an ocean. And then the next phase of sinful activity, or effect of sinful activity, is what we are suffering for now. All the sufferings that we're enduring in our life, adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhautaka, they are the effects of our previous sinful activities. They are called effects of sins that are almost mature. And then those that are mature, when we actually come to the culmination of the suffering of our previous deeds. Now in Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit explains in the sixth canto to Shukadeva Goswami that this process of prayashchitta, of atonement for sins, doesn't seem like it's really effective. Because if we perform tapasya, if we perform various forms of meditation or fasting or sacrifices, we may be relieved of the sufferings of the sins we have now and the culminations that are coming about,
But the tendency, the desire to engage in more sinful activities still remains in our heart. It seems like an elephant taking a nice bath and then rolling in the dust. What is the value?
And Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami explain that it is only through bhakti, it is only through devotional service that we can eradicate the disease of all of our previous sinful activities and tendencies and reactions to the very root on all four levels. How is that? Through jnana, through karma, through astanga, through the various yogic positions, we cannot. We may be able to eradicate certain levels, but the seed desire for sense gratification does not go away. It is only by bhakti. Devotional service is so unlimitedly, infinitely powerful. Why? Because it is the only activity in all of creation that pleases Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, he is the all-powerful. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. He is the controller of the modes of material nature. The three gunas, everything is happening under his direction. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva bhapebhyo mokshayi samima suja. Abandon all other attempts, endeavors for any religious progress and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And when Krishna says surrender, how do we surrender? Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskaru. Mam evaishtashi shatyam te prati janisyo triyoshime. By becoming Krishna's devotee, by pleasing Krishna. How to become dear to Krishna? To understand this principle. Vasudeva para veda, vasudeva para makha, vasudeva para yoga, vasudeva para kriya. Vasudeva param jnanam, vasudeva param tapa, vasudeva paro dharmo, vasudeva paragati. To make our life an offering to Vasudeva, to Krishna. To always think of him, to become his devotee, to worship him, to offer our homage to him, with an endeavor to please him. To please him is the perfection of the eternal soul. It is the constitutional nature of the soul to please Krishna. And any other endeavor for happiness will be foiled with failure and death. So let us put Krishna first in every endeavor in our life. And of course, what pleases Krishna more than pleasing those who Krishna loves? By pleasing Krishna's devotees, by chanting Krishna's names, by living according to Krishna's desires, we should have complete faith that everything will be achieved. Does this mean we neglect our ordinary responsible activities in this world? No. It means we do it all with a spirit of devotion to Krishna. So do not worry. Krishna says, do not fear. Sometimes Prabhupada would also translate it, if you surrender to Krishna, do not worry. You are in good hands. And everything and everyone that has any connection to you is in good hands. If we become dear to a devotee, we should know that we have received the ultimate treasure of life, Krishna's mercy. That's all. Money cannot buy such a treasure that has sought such value as becoming dear to a devotee of the Lord. Because through the affection of those devotees, through pleasing those devotees, the spiritual world is ours by the grace of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.